It's time for Wisconsin Life. Dungeons & Dragons is the single most famous role-playing game in the world, and this year, it's celebrating its 40th anniversary. Writer Ethan Gilsdorf didn't grow up in Wisconsin, but his love of D&D led him to fantasize about visiting the game's hometown, Lake Geneva.
The key game, really, all leads back to two guys, Gary Gygax and David Arneson, and Gary lived in Lake Geneva. I lived halfway across the country. I would get these products in the mail or go to my hobby shop, and it all said,
TSR Hobbies, Dungeons & Dragons game.
This comes from TSR Hobbies, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, and I thought, where is this magical place, Lake Geneva? And I always wanted to visit there. One of the misconceptions is it is a game where people dress up in costume and run around in the woods, you know, with swords and armor and so forth. And there are games, of course, that are like that called live-action role-playing games. Dungeons & Dragons really came before all that. And the idea is you're still sitting around a table. It's just like poker night. And one of the players is in charge of the game. He is known or she is known as the Dungeon Master. And this person is kind of the referee and the rule maker. And essentially, when you play, the Dungeon Master says to the assembled players, you know, hey, here's the situation. What do you do? And it's up to the players to decide in that moment what they're going to do.
Survival depends on a quick, decisive move. The choices are limited. Stand and fight or run.
So it's a collaborative game. And this is the other aspect of D&D that was quite new. Most games have a winner and a loser. And, you know, you have 90 minutes to play the game or an afternoon and it's over. D&D is really a story game, and you're essentially telling a story with the players in this Dungeon Master.
Use your lightning bolt.
What's wonderful about the game is that it's had this influence on the whole genre of video games, particularly fantasy role-playing games. It's really spawned a whole genre of stuff, and I think has fed a whole generation of people who get really into Lord of the Rings when those movies came out and get really into Harry Potter when those books came out.
Trying to find a crown, but it's real easy to get lost.
The stereotype is it's a geeky kid who plays these games because he or she doesn't, you know, can't deal with the quote-unquote real world. I feel like D&D taught me how to deal with the real world because it gave me a forum and a venue where I could kind of be goofy and be kind of ballsy and be kind of macho. We do spend more and more time in front of computer screens, but there's very few opportunities left in our culture where you can just sit around and tell a story to each other anymore in a way that's acceptable and normal. And that's what I think is wonderful about the game and other games that are like D&D that, of course, have come along over the years, that it reunites us with this storytelling tradition. Anything can happen. And there's a real sense of wonder and danger and magic and mystery.
Victory is yours.
Ethan Gilsdorf is the author of Fantasy Freaks and Gaming Geeks. Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. This episode was produced in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. For more information, visit wisconsinlife.org.
Now we welcome in a Wisconsinite who was influenced by Dungeons & Dragons and the culture it created. John Kovalik is with us in the studio. He's the author of the Dork Tower comic books, a game illustrator and designer himself. John, welcome back to the show.
It's a pleasure being here.
What are your first Dungeons & Dragons D&D memories?
My first D&D memory was finding a tiny little white box with three rules booklets in it in a small game store in London. I grew up in England. I was actually born in England. And this would have been in 1977, I believe. So this was not the very first printing, which came out in 1974, but this was one of the very early printings of Dungeons & Dragons. And I had been playing games in school with my school friends, and I had no idea what a role-playing game was. And it was almost as if you could see my head explode once I realized what this new way of playing games was.
I laugh because my story is so similar. It was a couple of years later, and I got the basic set, and I loved games, and it was, you don't take turns, there's not a board, it's just like the imagination is your only limit. So yeah, it was a really a mind-altering moment. Well, your work, your graphic art, your comics have been influenced by D&D and the people who play it. Can you talk about its influence on you?
It's been huge. It is. I've been working in the gaming industry, in the games industry, the pen and paper tabletop games industry. I've been working in it for 15, almost 20 years now. And I'm extraordinarily fortunate. I got to know Dave Arneson and Gary Gygax when they were still alive at the conventions. I met them. I deeply regret not having them sign anything, but I was just too in awe. I just wanted to bask in one of the greatest moments of my professional career was at a Gen Con in Milwaukee, walking back to my booth and seeing Dave Arneson buying some of my comic books. And I just sprinted back to the booth saying, "This man's money is not good here. You give him what he wants."
And how pervasive has the D&D gotten in our culture? Not so much even just the game itself, but the ideas, the tropes that come out of it.
Well, it's mainstream now, mm-hmm. which is the big difference. People, having gone through the 1980s and the big anti-D&D backlash, mm-hmm. The anti-role-playing game backlash, all of the kids who started playing Dungeons & Dragons in the 70s and 80s, many of them now own companies, and many of these companies are in Silicon Valley, and they've gone on to. It's part of the culture. The tropes are out there. People, there may be some snickering on occasion when you mention magic missiles, but for the most part, look at how well the Lord of the Rings movies have done. Look at the huge influence Dungeons and Dragons has had on the video gaming industry, and that is just massive.
Do you still play?
I do. Sadly, one of the problems with working in games is you don't have as much time to game as you would like. But I've got a weekly group that meets, and if they're listening to this, they're now laughing because I've not been for a while. But I dearly, dearly miss playing.
Your character's dead. Sorry, man. I hate to break it to you.
Send the dwarf. What's behind that door? Let's use Kavalik's character.
Well, you mentioned Gary Gygax and the Wisconsin connection. There's a group actually working on getting a memorial statue of him. Do you think he gets the credit that is due as a Wisconsin legend, a Wisconsinite who made good?
If Frank Lloyd Wright doesn't get the credit as a Wisconsinite who's made good, Gary Gygax is not. No, he doesn't, because Dungeons & Dragons really changed everything in gaming. And he and Dave Arneson, who is from Minneapolis, so many people owe these guys such a debt of gratitude. They have provided the inspiration for millions of players, boys, girls, men, women, and it's profound. The influence continues to this day. And yes, there absolutely should be a Gygax Memorial in Wisconsin, without a doubt.
I invited comments on our Facebook page, Central Time on WPR, and you can comment, by the way, if you play or have played. Here's a comment from Gavin. He wrote, "I loved D&D even since my first game in fifth grade with a few classmates," which was quite memorable due to our teacher calling our parents and explaining how the game is satanic. "What I find fascinating is how the game has completely transformed the worlds of fantasy fiction, role-playing games in general, maybe more than Tolkien. The monsters, the character archetypes of D&D have pervaded popular culture. More than the Lord of the Rings," he's saying, "D&D shaped what we think of fantasy."
In a sense, you can't argue with that. The whole fighting man, magic user. I mean, D&D took from the classics, from Lord of the Rings, Farfadet and the Grey Mouser, all of the fantasy literature bits and pieces, and it brought it together and melded it into something new.
Is it still as alive as it was back in that heyday in the 70s and into the 80s?
To an extent, yes. I mean, it's no longer just Dungeons & Dragons as the role-playing game. There's some serious contention with a game called Pathfinder, which, in a sense, a lot of people refer to as Dungeons & Dragons 4.75. A big part of 3.75. 4.75. I'm getting my editions confused. This is embarrassing. But people still gather together. People still, in fact, in a sense, I think there's been a bit of a renaissance in just tabletop gaming as a whole, with people wanting to get back to just gathering a group of friends together and having a good time over the table.
Right. That was something that he mentioned in that Wisconsin Life piece, that a lot of our entertainment is screen oriented. We're at a computer or holding a tablet or a phone or watching TV. Have we been coming full circle and wanting to embrace these things that sit us down in the same place together?
I don't know if it's full circle, but there is a renewed passion for gaming out there, and role-playing games, I think, are right up there.
Do you think it's going to continue, D&D and the other tabletop role-playing games, are they going to continue to be as popular in the future?
Absolutely. There's no substitution just for gathering friends together, for creating characters, for this wonderful interaction you get around the table with a role-playing game.
Briefly, a pep talk for somebody who's never tried it, but their curiosity has been whetted. How do you talk them to doing this stereotypically geeky activity?
I don't know if I could. I would sit them down at the table. I would, first of all, try and find somebody who's a good game master, a good dungeon master. That's essential. And then you just sit down at the table and they'll know the rules. And in fact, role-playing is a very easy hobby to get into, because a lot of the times it just takes the one person to know the rules and to get the whole table going.
John, thanks a lot for joining us.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
That's John Kovalik, comic book artist, game designer, and illustrator. And again, you can post your gaming memories at the Central Time Facebook page.